few weeks ago, I was in Northern Ireland and was caught in a torrential downpour. So wet was it that everything I was wearing and everything I was carrying got completely soaked. And among the things which got completely soaked was my laptop. The water poured down through the vents in the laptop, having soaked into the bag that I was carrying. Now, I made another mistake. The first one might have been to carry it with the vents up, but the next mistake I made was to send out a message on social media, just sort of a general statement, please will you pray, my laptop has just got soaked and at the moment it's not turning on. Within moments, the advice started rolling in. Have you put it in rice? Actually, you know the trick? You can do that apparently with a mobile phone that gets wet. The next piece of advice, a few moments later, whatever you do, don't put it in rice. You ever ask for advice on social media when you're sick? Everybody knows the diet that you should have. Everybody knows the ointment or the herbs or the special medicine or combinations of medicine. You've got a problem with something, everybody's got a hack, everybody's got a guru. Everybody knows the answer to all our problems. When something's broken, when someone is diseased, when there's some particular need, when there's some challenge we face, the number of people who know exactly what we need to do to put it all right is stunning. What's more difficult is working out which of them could be right when so many of them are directly contradictory to one another. But everybody thinks they know how to make us well, whether or not they can fix the system, provide the medicine, work out who you should follow, the book that you should read, the diet, the herbs, the essential oils that you should rub or drink or sniff or whatever else you do with them. Everybody knows what you should do. But what about real healing? You have the same problem, you see, with your soul. If you reach the point at which you're ready to acknowledge that things are not well with your soul, that the problem isn't just out there, that the problem is also in here, there are 1,000,000 voices, all of them telling you, this is what you need to do in order to get well. But who can heal your soul? Who can truly make well your whole humanity? Who can restore everything that you are in time and for eternity? There's a voice here that speaks, and it's a voice that tells us the true source of true healing. It is the voice of God himself coming through his servant Isaiah the prophet, and it provides for us what we might call a sovereign remedy. Chemists, alchemists, physicians in times past, there was a dream that you'd be able to find the one medicine that would cure every disease. There is a medicine that truly cures every disease, the deepest and the darkest needs of our souls. And it's spoken of here as part of a sequence of costly favour for guilty sinners. We have one who is pierced for our transgressions, who is crushed for our iniquities, upon whom is the chastisement which brought us peace, and the particular phrase that we want to concentrate on, the one by whose wounds we are healed. Now again, in this country we often boast of the NHS. Free healthcare. Is it really free? You need to qualify it. Free at the point of need. That's the more technical designation. Free at the point of need. The National Health Service is a very expensive system. When you walk into your doctor, into the emergency centre, wherever it may be, and without having to pay any money at that point, you are treated in accordance with your disease. It is free for you at the point of need. But it's been paid for, and it's not cheap. And the healing of which we speak this morning is free at the point of need. But it's been bought at a great price. What is then this medicine that your soul needs? And if you're a Christian here this morning, what is the medicine that your soul enjoys? What benefits have you received? The medicine is described here, the nature of the medicine, it is the stripes or the wounds of the servant of God. It's a sort of a shorthand, if you will, for the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the servant of God. He's the one of whom Isaiah speaks again and again in his prophecy. And these wounds or these stripes, these are blows that cut deep. These are not paper cuts. These are not surface wounds. They're described elsewhere in Isaiah, for example, chapter 1 and verse 6, or Psalm 38 and verse 5. These are killing wounds. These are desperate, painful things. These are actual agonies. Everything here centers on the servant of God and his sufferings. This is the medicine of which Isaiah speaks. The sufferings of the man of sorrows. This one who, when you look at him, you might think, what could he possibly offer us? But he is the one by whose wounds we are healed. There is only one hope of healing. There is only one person who can do you any true, real, and lasting good. This medicine is the wounds of God's servant. Who are the recipients of this medicine? By his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. Now, of whom is Isaiah speaking? Well, he's certainly including himself. Even though he is a prophet of God, he understands that he is a man who needs God's mercy, who needs to be made well. But as he goes on, he begins to describe more broadly what he's speaking about. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. So the recipients of this medicine are the people who have left the path of God. They have turned apart from righteousness. They are doing their own thing. They're walking their own path. They're living their own life. They're doing what they please. Perhaps you remember when the Lord Jesus was once accused of spending too much time with the scum of the earth. And he said, well, the doctor doesn't go to those who are well, does he? You don't go to the doctor because you're feeling fine, do you? You go to the doctor when you're sick, when you know that something is wrong. And Christ said, I haven't come to heal those who are well. I've come to heal the sick. I've come not to call the righteous or those who imagine themselves to be, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. We need this medicine not because we're well, but because we're not. We need this healing not because our souls are healthy, but because our souls are desperately sick. Christ has come for the sinners. He's come for those who have turned each one to their own way. The Lord has laid on him our iniquity. Our souls are dead in trespasses and sins. Our souls are diseased with every spiritual virus imaginable. We deserved the sufferings that the Saviour undergoes. Have you thought about that? When you read of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, when you think not just of the agonies of his body, but those deeper wounds still, the blows of God that fell upon his soul, the curse that sin deserves, my sin and yours, that fell upon him. He is suffering what I should suffer when God brings down his wrath upon his beloved son. He is striking him as I deserve to be struck. He is then a saving substitute. He is taking our place. The wounds that are in him are the wounds that should fall upon us. If you and I are to be well, then Christ Jesus must be wounded. We are the recipients. Not the bad people out there, not those terrible people who live on your street, not those real wretches who obviously need some kind of help. But men and women like me and you, you boys and girls, you need this healing in your souls. And by his wounds, we, sinners, we are healed. That's The effect of the medicine. The effect of the medicine. It is to heal us. Everything that caused the servant to suffer is now removed from us. Why do we suffer? Why should we suffer? Because of our sins. The punishment of God is the consequence of sin. The pollution needs to be taken away. The punishment needs to be taken away. The power of sin in your soul needs to be broken. And that is what Christ does by his death. Sin and its consequences are taken away by the wounds of Jesus Christ. And in the place of them, there is healing, there is wholeness, there is complete well-being. Now, Isaiah uses this language in a couple of other places. Let me just read to you from, first of all, Isaiah 19 and verse 22. The Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. What does that mean, Isaiah? They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. So this healing is a coming back to God and a restoration of relationship with God. Isaiah uses the language again in chapter 30 and verse 26, and he uses it in the same sense. The light of the moon will in those days be like the light of the sun. The light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day when the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Isaiah is pointing forward here to a time when God in his holiness is reconciled to man in his sinfulness. When there is no longer a breach between God and mankind on account of sin. When God is smiling upon his people. When God is pleased to draw them to himself and pour out all his favor upon them. It's the language of messianic blessing. It's pointing forward to a complete restoration to the wellness of soul, the delight in God, the smile and the favor of the Most High. And Isaiah says, that's the healing that the Lord Jesus accomplishes by his wounds. We are healed. What is the strength of this medicine? Ever taken something that doesn't quite do the job? Take one of these. Give it a few minutes. You're thinking, oh, I need two of those. Maybe three or four. The pain's too intense. The problem is too bad. The sickness is too deep. You need more medicine in order to make it well. And perhaps more isn't sufficient. Something that won't quite take away the pain. Something that won't strike at the root of the disease. There's not a hint of mere possibility in what Isaiah says. By the wounds of God's servant Jesus Christ, we are healed. Healing has been accomplished for us. The work has been done. The accomplishment has been made. There is nothing that is left out. Now, we normally think of disease leading to death. Perhaps we should say, scripturally, we should think of death and subsequent disease, because we don't really begin sick, we begin dead. But by the wounds of Jesus Christ, we are healed. Whoever comes to him finds life in the place of death. Now, do you know any other medicine that can do that? I'm not talking about a defibrillator. When your heart has stopped for a few moments, you can be resuscitated. I'm talking about seeing somebody who is dead and has been dead perhaps for weeks or months or even years. I presume there's a graveyard in the church building next door. Anybody want to go and try and see if we can raise the dead? Got an aspirin, anybody? Paracetamol? Ibuprofen? Cocodamol? Something, you know, nice opiate? What can we do to raise the dead from the... Not a thing. What can you do to raise the spiritually dead? Well, not a thing in yourself. It's a spiritual aspirin or paracetamol or ibuprofen. That's no good for dead men and women. But by the wounds of Jesus Christ, the dead can be made alive. He has purchased salvation for us. By him and by his wounds, God is brought to us and we are brought near to God. Those who were once afar off, we're brought near. Those who were once dead in trespasses and sins, they are made alive in him who died but rose again from the grave. Spiritual death is addressed by the wounds of Jesus. And so is spiritual disease. Because once we're raised from the dead, if we're Christians, are we perfectly and spotlessly healthy? Aren't there still spiritual viruses that cling to us? Aren't there still spiritual bacteria against which we struggle? Is there not remaining sin that we have to deal with? Yes, alive in Christ, but now striving and wrestling against remaining sin. And these things still spiritually afflict us. We're not yet free of unbelief. We have doubts and we have fears. We face particular temptations. You may have battled against them this morning. You may have been sitting here trying to worship God, and there's distractions and there's sinful desires and there's confusions that creep in. Satan loves sometimes when we're trying to concentrate on God, to do everything he can to take us down. Griefs, afflictions, confusions, bitterness and harshness. What is the remedy for your ongoing disease? What is it that continues to make you whole? What is it that continues to put sin to death in you? Where do you go? Back to Christ and him crucified. That is always the first. It is in many senses the final remedy. Where will you put bitterness to death when you look at Christ and him crucified? Where will you slay your sins when you remember his wounds? All the consequences of the fall, death and disease in our souls and ultimately in our bodies also, are going to be taken away and have been in principle in the death of Jesus Christ. There is absolute restoration for me and for you here. There is nothing which we suffer. There is no sin against which we strive. There is no doubt by which we are afflicted. There is no temptation which we face for which the wounds of your Jesus are not your true healing. Spiritual life now and forever. My friends, this is a sovereign remedy. This is the all-purpose medicine. The dominion of sin broken in us and the diseases of our soul continually cured. Remember then again how this medicine was made. You don't see medicines being made so much today, do you? You go to the pharmacy. But if you hang around there, I don't know if you're one of those people who say, oh, come back in 5 minutes, it'll be ready. They do still make up some. A lot of them are just waiting on the shelves, but you can still see where some of them are being made. Some of them still, you have to, you know, you take this off and you pour that in, you shake it up. In the old days, a chemist's shop would be quite a wonderful thing. You put a few powders in here, you put a few roots in there, you get your mortar and your pestle, you'd grind it up together. You'd be able to see the thing taking shape. Where do you see this medicine taking shape? Where do you see a man being crushed in order to make well? This is a Calvary compound. If you want to understand how something that is free for you at the point of need has been purchased, then you have to go and watch Jesus Christ as he dies on the cross to save his people from their sins. All his humiliations and sufferings go together to make up this sovereign remedy. Christ Jesus takes a body. Being the eternal Son of God, he must take flesh and blood. Otherwise, he could not obey and suffer as a man. The very fact that he comes into this world is part of his preparation, part of his saving accomplishments. And you see him having come into this world, and he lives serving, and he dies suffering. He offers himself for the sins of his people. What is he doing? He is providing healing. He's making the medicine. He is granting to us at the cost of his own life, the life that we could never otherwise find. Just because it's free at the point of need, don't forget the cost to Jesus Christ. Everything. He left glory behind. He took to himself a nature like ours. He came in the form of a servant. As a servant, he lived and served. He suffered even to the point of death. And the death that he died was the death of the cross under the curse of his loving Father. And without that, you are not healed. And you cannot be healed. The cross work of Christ, the saving accomplishments of the Lord Jesus, are not written in the scriptures again and again. And I sometimes think we fall short even of this. If you're a Christian, have you got to the stage where it's in all four Gospels, it's foreshadowed in so many prophecies? You can read those things now, can't you, with perhaps barely being touched. You get to those cries on the cross. It is finished. When he breathed his last, he gave up his spirit. You turn the page and you finished Matthew, you can begin Mark, or you've finished Mark, you can go on to Luke. After Luke, you can do John. You can read those things. You can read what Isaiah says. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Who is this? God's beloved Son. And the servant by whom he accomplishes salvation. We can read it and we can be largely untouched. Or we can read it and we can think, oh, that's awful. And you can, as it were, just look on the surface and you see the pain and the distress of Jesus Christ. You think of the nails going through his hands and his feet. You think of the stripes that land upon his back when he's being beaten and scourged by the Romans. You think of the buffeting at the hands of the Jews. And you're upset. The way you might be upset if you watch a particularly graphic news report about what's happening in Ukraine. The way you might be upset if you see the aftermath of some horrible assault. It's just sympathy. Is that all that Christ on the cross calls forth? Do you just see a poor man having a terrible time? Or do you understand that this is the suffering servant of God who's laying down his life in order that you may be healed? The nature of this medicine, nothing less than the wounds of Jesus, the servant of God. The recipients of this medicine, sinners like us, we who have gone astray, we who are sick in our souls, who are dead in trespasses. The effect of the medicine is to heal us. The strength of the medicine, it's complete, it's effective, it's absolute. The making of the medicine on Calvary's tree, and the application of the medicine. Have you actually taken it? You see, it's one thing to talk about all this. It's another thing to actually enjoy it. Suppose this were the sovereign remedy. One sip of this, and every ache, pain, any disease, any distress in your whole body, it's gone for good. Now, if that were more than an illustration, would anybody want some? I'd take it. There's enough here for everybody in just that one glass. But it's no good for me to say, I've got a medicine that heals all your diseases. And you go out of here and you go out and say, isn't that wonderful? You know, the at church today, there was a man who had a glass full of medicine that would have healed all our diseases. Any one of us who drank even a sip, we'd be perfectly well. You might be sitting there now marveling that this compound has been made, that something as simple as that can make anybody well. But unless you actually come and drink it, you're still sick. Unless you take it into your system, you will still die. And so it is with Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know that by his wounds a sinner can be healed. It's not enough even to be impressed that the wounds of Jesus can make you well. It's not enough to know how it was put together on Calvary when Christ, who had taken our humanity, suffered and died under the curse of God. It's not enough to understand the theory. You must actually imbibe the medicine. You have to take it, and you have to take the whole course. And so there are two things that we must do. First of all, we must drink this medicine by immediate faith. You must come to Christ now in order to be made well. And if you do, then you will find that by his wounds, you are this moment healed. That your spiritual death is taken away, and the root of spiritual disease in your soul is once and forever taken away. You must look to Christ and Christ only as he suffers and dies. And when by faith you receive this Jesus, you are made well. And you will never be sick again in that ultimate sense. But I must warn you that to mix anything in will poison the well. And there are so many people who want to add a little something to Jesus Christ. I'll take Christ, but I'm relying on my religion too. I'll trust in Jesus, but I'll be a good person. I'll trust Jesus Christ, but the fact that I was born in what some people call a Christian country, that's really laid the foundation. My parentage, my efforts, my works, whatever else it may be, my friend, you need to understand that a drop of anything in Christ prevents the medicine working. It's all, it's only Christ. It's pure Jesus. It is the death that he died on Calvary that will save a sinner like me or you from our transgressions. If you are to be healed of your wounds, it is Christ and Christ alone. Drink him by faith. He describes himself as living water. When you drink of the living water, the water of life, then his life is in you and you cannot die. Drink it by immediate faith and take it by constant meditation. In terms of those ongoing spiritual diseases, those battles against sin and against transgression and against iniquity, how will you go on overcoming? It is by keeping Christ before your eyes. It is by keeping your heart fixed upon the cross. I can't remember all that it was now, but I'm sure my mum had something when we were kids. Whatever we had a dose of that. Might have been Calpol even. There's only one flavour. You kids still have Calpol? Yeah? What flavours does it come in now? Is there a pink one and an orange one and other kinds of things? When I was growing up, it was this thick purple goo. And it used to kind of sort of stick to you as it went down. We'd always have it. I had a school nurse when I was growing up. Didn't matter what you went to her with, you got two aspirin and sent back to class. It's always the same thing. And there's a sense in which, not just as a gesture, but isn't it always the same thing when it comes to facing and fighting our sins? Isn't it always the same thing that brings you peace? When you've stumbled again, when you've transgressed once more, where do you still go? What is it that keeps you clean? The fountain that is opened for sin and for uncleanness. Christ not only makes us well, Christ keeps us well. It is by his wounds that we are healed. We can be so much more concerned with our bodies than our souls, can't we? If I really had a medicine for your bodily aches and ailments that would heal anybody, don't you imagine there would be a line of people outside this building fighting to get in? How much could I sell that for if that were a sovereign remedy for the ills of the body? I'd be a millionaire, billionaire perhaps, off the back of one glass. And yet, here we are, preaching Christ and him crucified. Eternal life for those who are dead in trespasses and sins. A healing for your soul against every possible disease. My friends, it is your privilege this morning to hear Christ proclaimed to you again. Many of you are part of this congregation, and you will hear week by week in various ways, in the hymns that you sing, in the readings that are come before you, in the memory verses that you think about, in the prayers that are uttered. The medicine is held out over and over and over again. Do you want to be well? Do you want peace with God? Do you want joy in your soul? Do you want the taking away of all your guilt and all your shame? My friend, I have a medicine for you. I have the medicine. By his wounds, we are healed. And if you, from the very depths of your being, desire to be made well, to be brought to God, to have peace with him, it must be through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed outside Jerusalem. Take Christ and keep taking Christ. Take him into your soul. Receive him now and you will be made well. And in his life, you will find life. In his death, you will find healing. In his spirit, you will find light and peace. He was wounded, pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Praise God, by his wounds we are healed. Amen.